One notorious act from vaudeville's heyday was the Cherry Sisters of Marion, Iowa. And their claim to fame? They were horrible. So much so to be downright hysterical. As legend has it, their singing, dancing, and comedy skits provoked audiences to heckle and even throw vegetables on stage. Now, their story is part of Actors Theater of Louisville's 34th Humana Festival of New American Plays. It's told in a play with music called The Cherry Sisters Revisited. I'm Elizabeth Kramer, and I'm with playwright Dan O'Brien, who wrote the script. Why a play about the Cherry Sisters?
I should start with where the play began. It was a group researched play, and actors were bringing in different stories of the vaudeville. It was going to be a play about the vaudeville for a theater in Providence, Rhode Island, that's actually housed in an old vaudeville theater. And one of the actors brought in this very short story, which is really just the myth of the Cherry Sisters from a book, an encyclopedia of the vaudeville. And she read this story to everyone, and people were just dying with laughter, and then also very, very sad. And I felt like that mixture of a very funny story that was very sad was my type of story, basically.
How was the fact that it was funny and sad something that you identified with?
Well, it's just part of my personality, I think. I've spent a lot of time studying Irish theater and Irish storytelling techniques, and I've been told that that's very Irish. I don't know if it is. But it was just something very personal to me in that type of story. The name of their act when they went to Broadway, the Cherry Sisters, was Something Good, Something Sad. So even in their act, there was a sense of something that was kind of funny and kind of pathetic or strange.
What did you find out in your research about them, and what little-known facts caught your interest?
Well, I found out a lot. There's a fair amount of history in the play that you might not know if you just go see the show because it seems so ridiculous and absurd. You know, they were from a small town in Iowa. They quickly rose to fame on Broadway, had a run on Broadway for several months. We use their actual song titles and the concept behind a lot of their dramatic pieces in their review. That said, there's also a lot that's not known about them. A lot of what's out there is sort of in the form of a fable or a myth, and I was interested in trying to discern just how much they may have been manipulating their own public perception as horrible performers in order to be famous or in order to make a living. And they did make a good living for a certain amount of time. They ended their days in poverty, but they did pretty well for a while, which was really rare for a group of women at that time.
There were five sisters, and then the father has a part in the play. And when you look at that and look at what there's written about them, how did you discern the characters and then structure the play?
The fact that there isn't a ton of detail known about them actually just freed me up as a writer in a lot of ways, too. I mixed the ages around, and I mixed the names in terms of the birth order. In reality, I think there was even a brother not in the play. They were not Irish or Irish-Americans. I've brought that to the story. There's no evidence that their father was anything like he is in the play. So that's a personal invention. The structure, because it was a myth, and part of what I spent time studying when I was living in Ireland, studying Irish myth and folklore, I feel like the myth exists for a reason in terms of their rise and fall. So that was sort of the basic structural conceit of the piece, that we'd follow their beginning from this little, barn in Iowa all the way to Broadway, and then in some ways back to the barn.
What draws you to myth?
I think a lot of things. If I knew exactly, I probably would no longer be drawn to it. But a number of things. Partly, I think, because myth can exist in a kind of heightened world theatrically and linguistically, which is interesting to me. I think the play is silly and funny, hopefully, but the style is very theatrical, and the language is sometimes quite heightened from everyday language. And I think myth and fable sort of allows you that type of stylistic departure. I'm also interested in how myth both reveals something about a culture, but also hides things about a culture, in the same way that myths about family history can both reveal and hide things as well. I've often written about stories like this, where we think we know one story, and the play attempts to sort of get underneath that or behind the myth.
Does the fact that you made the characters into ghosts play into that?
Yeah, I think, well, I also write about ghosts a lot, so that's something that tends to come out whether I want it to or not. The ghost aspect of the play, I guess I was just interested in how their story, even though we've forgotten the Cherry Sisters for the most part, a few people have heard of them, but it's not a well-known story. I'm interested in how their story is still with us. So in the sense that their story could still be haunting a modern culture and a modern audience. In the same way that the vaudeville, you know, what I find so haunting for me personally about the vaudeville is how familiar and strange it is at the same time.
What's familiar about it?
Just that so many aspects of vaudeville still exist in TV and film and theater. But for the most part, it was before the type of recording that we have now. So it's something that exists in kind of grainy, choppy, silent films, just in some kind of collective memory of the culture, or as it infiltrates modern culture.
What in this play, if anything, comes from your own experience?
You know, I've written a lot of historical plays, and they always feel personal. They always feel as autobiographical as things I've tried to write that are very obviously autobiographical. So it feels like a personal story to me, even though I'm not from Iowa and I'm not a sister. And I have two sisters, but I don't have four. I'm from a big family, a big Irish-American family, as the Cherry Sisters in my play are. So I'm kind of interested in the roles that different siblings take on in a family and how that kind of fits into archetype or to some degree stereotype, how we identify ourselves in contrast to other members of our family. And I'm also interested in where art comes from in terms of family and childhood and to some degree abuse. You know, this isn't a play about abuse, but these women came from a pretty dark, desperate circumstances. And they saw art as their escape. And part of the pathos of the story is they did escape, but they were scapegoated by the culture as terrible performers.
With this play, there's music woven into the story. Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with music before, or what was this experience like?
Yeah, it's totally new for me. I think it's been a way to sort of get my toes wet in the sense that it's not a traditional musical, and the songs exist as parts of their act, and they're often fragments of songs in the play, not full songs. So there wasn't as much pressure, perhaps, on me to write a traditional musical. You know, that's more my style. I'm not really personally as interested in traditional musicals, but I'm excited by sort of branching out into a different dimension of theatrical storytelling. I also write a lot of poetry, and I think there's a kind of maybe kinship or similarity between poetry and lyric writing and maybe just singing on stage. So that's exciting to me, too. I feel like a young kid when it comes to the music in terms of this play, because it's all so new to me. And Michael Friedman, who's the composer, is a wonderful composer. He's composed some very funny songs, and the scoring is often quite beautiful.
He's kind of, I guess now you could call him a veteran at Actors right. Theater of Louisville, having been here several times with the Civilians. Mm-hmm. But what was it like to work with him and have him as kind of a partner on the musical parts, mm-hmm. especially with your first time here in the festival?
He was great. He had been sort of circling around the project for a long time. You know, I knew him and know him professionally, and many people had suggested that he was a right fit for this play in terms of his style and his working methods and also his sense of humor and his familiarity with the vaudeville, too. You know, he has a real vaudevillian sensibility to him. So for many years, really, people were saying, you and Michael have to work on this together. But he's so busy, and I moved, and so finally, with this project, we were able to bring us together. And he was great. I mean, he's... Because I wrote the lyrics, but, you know, I was able to revise the lyrics with him. So that was a real learning experience to start to take my basic concept for the song and to mold it with music once we had a composer on board. And he's just great. I mean, he's just funny and, like I said earlier, he's funny and sad. He can do both. It's the sort of beautiful, moving moments and sometimes very silly, theatrical, funny moments.
When it comes to this play, it's about vaudeville from a while ago, and you talked about how there's that remnants of vaudeville that you see today in a lot of entertainment. But what else does this play say to contemporary audiences?
I hope it's somewhat timeless, you know, in the sense of not that the play is timeless, but that what the play is about is timeless, and that it's people following their dreams in pursuit of something that they love and that they hope will bring them a kind of love. Part of the message of the story is there's a certain disappointment in that, or there's a certain maturation in that idea. So I hope people can identify with it on a personal level, even if they're not artists of any kind, because it's really about people trying to have faith in some sort of dream. It becomes a kind of nightmare fable because in pursuit of that dream, and then because of the faith in that dream, they're sort of scapegoated and pilloried by the culture. But I hope by the end of the play, the big point of the story is that it was all worth it for these women, that there was still a huge amount of meaning for them in pursuing this dream.
Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.